Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we love you. We thank you for having our good plans in your heart. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to live our lives with the promise of knowing that you have good plans, that no matter what we're walking through, you're there and you're big and you're powerful and you love us. You're never going to forget us. You're never going to leave us. And I pray, Lord, today that you would just continue to sink this promise down in our hearts and in our souls. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, let's give our worship team just a big thank you for leading us. You can be seated. Wow, what a good morning already. Y'all just go home, right? I'm glad you didn't say amen on that one. I do want to say thank you for being here. If I haven't got to meet you yet, my name's Bobby, and I have the honor of serving here as one of our pastors. And can I get, will you turn those lights on for me? I'm old and I cannot see my Bible unless those lights come on. But if this is one of your first times, thank you so much for being here. I love what Shira said, the scanny thing on the back of the chair. It's called a QR code, babe, not a scanny thing. But we do want to connect with you. Her heart was in the right place, right? But we got a lot going on around here right now. Our students are going to be driving home. I'm going to ask you to pray for them. You guys know how that is. And so just pray for them. They're going to church in Jacksonville this morning. Then they're going to head back. And so I know they're tired, but they had a great week. And I look forward to sharing a little bit more about that with you. A couple other things. Men, all the men in the room. One thing that we are passionate about here is we believe that God has given men the leadership in the home. And as so many, you know, we hear this a lot as fathers and husbands, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of responsibility, and we want to help. We want to be there. And so we have a couple opportunities right now, men. Every Sunday during the second service, all right, we have a men's book study right here in this building. Starts at the beginning of the second service, and they're running. You can jump in at any time, grab the book. And then starting this Thursday, if you're an early guy, if you like getting up early before like Jesus is awake, like 6 a.m. early, we have a new book study at Okatie Starbucks. David Trail, he's been with us for a long time, one of our deacons, he's going to be leading that, and I want to invite you to that. And so if you like to get up early and just dig in a little bit more and have some good community and fellowship with some other guys, some other men, please come and take part of that, all right? Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We've been in this book now for 6 weeks, and we're going to finish chapter 2 today, and I'm excited about that. But this is a letter from Paul to the church, the members of a church in a place called Colossae, and they were doing some really good things, but Paul was hearing that there were some things being taught that didn't line up with the Bible. They did not line up with what God wanted him to hear. And so he's addressing these false teachings, these heresies. He's addressing them head on. And so we walked through these last week, and we talked about how these are like add-ons. Like Jesus is good, Jesus is great, but he's not enough. And so we feel like we have to add on. And that's one of the strategies of the enemy, is to get you and I to believe that there's something else that needs to be added. And they were convinced that Jesus wasn't enough. And so last week, just a quick reminder. Last week we talked about these six heresies, these reasonable arguments. People can try to talk you into things, these philosophies, these traditions, the legalism, the mysticism, spiritual idols, the asceticism. We talked about how so often it's kind of tempting to add on to our faith in Jesus. And what we need to do is we need to see it and we need to acknowledge it. We need to see the fact that, you know, I'm trying to do this all on my own. I'm trying to line up with all the rules. And if I do that, that doesn't make me a better Christian, right? And so we need to acknowledge it. And so Paul is trying to get these church members to identify what's going on. And so today, we talked about those last week. Today, I'm going to give you the answers that Paul gives to all those heresies, okay? Paul gives an answer to all of these things, all these false teachings that are taking place. And I'm going to give it to you now, okay? I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer to the test right now, and then we're going to break this down, all right? So if you're a note taker or you want to take a picture of this, this is the answer to the test, all right? This is Paul's answer to all the heresy, all the false teaching is this. God has provided a glorious, all-sufficient remedy in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God has provided a glorious and all-sufficient remedy in the person and work of Jesus Christ. All the schemes, all the arrows, all the strategies, all the darkness that the enemy can throw at me and you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The well-known pastor Charles Spurgeon said it pretty simply. He says, the best way to expose the darkness is to shine the light. And that's what Paul's trying to do. Because we want to complicate it. We want to make it harder than it really is. We want to add to it. And we want to say, yeah, I believe that Jesus said this, but what about this? And we want to so often just make things a little more difficult. And Paul says pretty straightforward that I want you to be confident against these heresies, not because of you, not because of anything that you've done, because of Christ. And so I want to give you these four, let's call them tools. Let's call them weapons, all right? I like weapons, all right? We're going to be a little manly today. We're going to have four weapons to fight against the schemes, the strategy of the enemy. So let's look at these four together, beginning in verse 1. For I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. Remember, he's in prison writing this letter. Now look what he says. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love. Now, I love this because we see Paul's heart, right? And straight off, right off the bat, I want you to know, this is my heart for you today. As I've been preparing this for the last several weeks and going through this book, this is exactly my heart for City Hope Church. I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to be joined together in love. And here's why. Look what he says, why. So that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. Why does Paul want them to be encouraged? Because he wants you to have the riches of understanding and knowledge of God. Wouldn't that be awesome if we just were so full of the knowledge of God, so full of understanding, so full of just him? Look at verse 3. He says, in him, this is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What if I could make every decision in my life with the wisdom and knowledge of God instead of the wisdom and knowledge of Bobby? And so Paul gives us four tools, four weapons that we can be confident to withstand the schemes of the enemy. Number one, we got to know who Jesus is. We got to know who Jesus is. Paul doesn't just say Jesus is wise. He doesn't just say Jesus is knowledgeable. He says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. All the wisdom, all the knowledge, if that's what you want, you got to go to Jesus. All of it is found in him. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a moral example of a kind of a good God. The Bible says he is God in the flesh. So think about that with me. The God who created everything thought so much of you and I that he said, although I'm an invisible God, I'm gonna put on flesh and I'm gonna go down to that earth and I'm gonna show them and I'm gonna walk amongst them and I'm gonna love them and I'm gonna teach them. I'm gonna leave them an example. John said in chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. Let me give you an illustration. Some of you guys may know a lot more about this than I do. the Treasury Department here in the United States of America, we have these agents that are trained on counterfeit money, right? Because that's a really big deal for some reason. People want to print their own money and try to sell it, right? And what I've learned is that they don't go around and find every single counterfeit bill and study the counterfeit of, you know, because there's hundreds of thousands, probably millions of different, you know, types of counterfeit bills. So what do? They study day and night the actual real thing. They make sure they know what the real thing thoroughly so that they can spot a counterfeit in an easy, easy way. Church, the best way for you and I to live and protect against false teaching is not simply that we just learn about all of these things. It's that we know Jesus so well that it stands out immediately when there's false teaching. That when something's going on in my life or in my family, in my work, whatever it is, I can spot it because it doesn't line up with what Jesus says. Famous philosopher Augustine of Hippo, he says this, listen to this. If Jesus is not God, he cannot save us. If he's not man, then he cannot sympathize with us. But because he is both, he is able to save to the uttermost. See, we have to know who Jesus is because that's where our authority comes from. We have to know who he is. Spiritual warfare is not about how strong you are. It's about who reigns supreme in your life. I love that middle song that we sang today. And it says, I'm standing on your faithfulness. I'm not standing on my faithfulness because that's going to crumble. That's going to eventually not be great, right? I'm going to mess up. I'm standing on his faithfulness, and I got to know that my confidence and my authority comes from him. And I think this is one of the enemy's oldest tactics, right? To try to get you and I to go, did God really say that? Did God really mean that when he wrote this? And we got to know who Jesus is. The second thing we see, the confident, the weapon that we can use is to know not just who Jesus is, but to know what he's done for you. This is so, so, so important. Look at verses 13 and 14, 15. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses, but God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Look at these massive, massive truths for your life. This is our weapon, church. He forgave your sins. He canceled your debt. I mean, think about that for a second. He conquered your enemy. And that has to be the thing that gives me confidence against the false teaching, against the add-ons that come along in my life. I can never lose sight of this. Now, for those of you that have been a believer, a churchgoer, a follower of Christ for a very long time, we can never grow tired of this. Never grow tired of giving God praise and thanks. This should be a daily thanks. God, I trust you. I love you. Thank you for doing what you did for me. And as soon as we stop thanking him, as soon as we stop losing sight of this and growing tired of this, that's when the enemy's gonna creep in. When we get weary, the Bible says that we were spiritually dead. We could not save ourselves. We could not clean ourselves up. We could not pay for our own debt, but God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. As I was studying this week, I came across this in the ancient world during this time. When somebody had a debt that they could not pay, what they would do is they would post the debt out in the public so everybody could see it, right? So if I owed Miss Susie $1 million, thanks for letting me borrow, but if I owed her $1 million and I wasn't paying it back, it would be posted, right? Bobby owes Miss Susie $1 million, and everybody could see that. And then I would have to do my best to pay it off. And then when the debt was finally paid off, they would write this word, tetelestai. Tetelestai. They would write it over it, meaning it is finished. The debt has been paid. Remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross? He said, it is finished. And that was our proof that the debt has been paid. What Jesus did for you and I. Paul says, Jesus took your sin and your bad record and all the things, all the baggage, all the ugliness, and he nailed it to the cross and he said, it is finished, paid in full. That's the gospel. Timothy Keller said this, the gospel is not advice about what we must do. It's the news about what has already been done for us. You see, these false religions that were being taught, this false heresy that was being taught was like, do more, do more, do more. Come on, you got to do more. But the Bible says it's already been done. It's not about you doing more. So we got to know and constantly remind ourselves what Jesus has done. The third weapon to fight against these false teachings, against these add-ons, and I'm just going to be real with you today. This is a tough one. You got to know who you are. I got to know who Jesus is. I got to know what he's done for me. And then third, I got to know who I truly am. Look what Paul tells the church here. He says, you've been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. So just stop right there. So the one who is over every ruler and every authority, Paul says, you've been filled by him. Now that is huge. That is a really, really big deal. That I've been filled by the one who is head and reigns over all people. He says, you were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. So obviously he's talking to believers here. He's talking to Christians, those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And he says this, you have been filled by him. If you know the Lord, if you've committed your life to him, you've surrendered, you've made him Lord of your life, you have been filled by him. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for you and I? It means that I don't have to go chasing spiritual experiences, right? It means I don't have to keep the list of rituals and traditions and legalistic ways to be accepted. It means that you've already been accepted. You've been fully loved because of Jesus, and that is your identity. I love what Pastor Joseph said, is that one of the enemy's tactics is to lie to us. But here's what I think, and the Bible talks about this a lot. One of the biggest things that the enemy, that the Bible calls the enemy, it says he's the great accuser. He accuses us often. There's often accusations. He wants you to doubt your worth. He wants you to doubt your standing with God. He wants you to doubt your love with him. He wants you to doubt, well, I'm no good to this world. I can't do anything special. I'm nobody. Nobody likes me. And he wants you to, he accuses you and he wants you to doubt what God has put in you. But when you know what Jesus has done for you, that's where your identity has to come from. When you truly trust and know who Jesus is, what he did for me, that's where my identity comes from. Because through his death, burial, and resurrection, I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. The Bible says I've been made righteous. I've been adopted as a child of God. And when I know who I am, listen, when I know who I am, the enemy's accusations lose power. They don't have power over in me anymore. And so Christians today, I want to encourage you, and I'm talking to myself, I'm preaching to myself today. Stop fighting for identity and start fighting from your identity. We don't have to fight any longer to prove ourselves to God. We're standing on his faithfulness. We're standing, he's already done what Jesus did for us. Since my daughters were super, super young, we would put this verse in their room. It's been on posters. We painted it on one of the walls. It's in Psalms. The Bible says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Understand what that verse means. It says, for we are God's handiwork. So what does that mean? That you are not your handiwork. It's not about you, what you can do. Your life is not your project. Your life is God's project. You are God's handiwork. God thought you up, and he knows exactly what he intended for you to be. His identity, listen to what it says, is for you to do good works. Your identity is not, well, I'm a sinner and just trying to do better. That's not your identity. Your identity is, I'm a child of God. I am complete in Christ. And we have to know who we are. And then the last one, number four, the last weapon. This is a tough one. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Number four, you got to know what you are to do for him. So I got to know who Jesus is. I got to know what he did for me. I got to know my identity. And then I got to know my role. Let me just say it like that. What is my role in all of this? Now, can I just be real? Y'all the first service. Y'all are happy. You're going to go home and have a great day. And so I don't want to get you down. But man, this one's tough. Because those first three are really, those are good because they're all about me, right? But this one, this is when I got to shift my focus off of me and put it out there. And can I just tell you, since the beginning of time, the road to people looking out for other people has always been narrow. The gap between people who know Christ and people who are serving Christ has always been big. And this is an area that every church, no matter where you go to church, no matter what you're from, where you're from, this is one that is really, really difficult. But I want you to understand, this is a weapon. This is a weapon. This is a tool for you to fight against the enemy. We look at it as, oh, it's just another thing on my schedule. But look what Paul says in verse 6. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, look at this, walk in him. So I get to receive him. Now my part, my job is to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So Paul gives this shift here from talking about who Christ is and what he's done. And now he's saying, this is what we are to do in response to what Christ has done. And this is where faith, now listen, don't miss this. This is where faith moves from information to transformation. I move from just knowing and having knowledge to living it out in my life. I need to have the know part, but I also am required and God wants me to have the show part. So Paul says, if you've received Christ, walk in him. We're not talking about earning your salvation. You've already received that. That's a free gift from Jesus. When he says walk in him, what he's saying is you got to live this thing out. You got to live this thing out. Look at these four parts of our role. What does Paul say? He says, I want you to be rooted. That's our stability. That's where our deep roots in Christ keep us from being blown and that roller coaster of emotion, lifestyle around every new teaching, every new thing, every new thought comes around. We have to be rooted and stable. He says, I want you to be built up. That means I got to grow. I got to continually grow in my walk with Christ. A strong faith is not built in one night. It's not built, it is built through abiding and trusting and moving and growing. It should always keep being strengthened, he says. Number three there, the fourth part, he says, I want you to be established. Be established in the faith. What does that mean? That's about maturity. That's about me taking my life and saying, okay, God, here's me, here's you, here's the middle, here's what you've called me to do, here's my weaknesses, here's my strengths, use me, God. It's about being established in our faith. And then he says, abounding in thanksgiving. That's the posture of my heart. He says, I want you to have a posture of thanksgiving. I want you to have a posture of praise. I want you to have a posture of giving God all the glory for everything that you have in your life. Now listen to me. Don't lose sight of this. Why is Paul saying all this? Because it's a weapon. It is a weapon for you and I to use. It's not just so that you can prove yourself that I'm a varsity Christian, right? It's a weapon against the enemy. Just thinking about it like this. Think about a tree. A tree, it doesn't grow
by trying harder, right? A tree grows because it has really good roots deep down into the soil, right? And so when the storm comes, the trees that have good roots and good foundations, what happens? It stands. It stands through the storms of life. But here's something else about trees, and I don't want you to miss this, and I'm going to, what's the proper term? Step on your toes. I'll say it like that, all right? There's something else about trees. Think about a fruit tree, a tree that produces fruit. Let's just take an orange tree. You have an orange tree and it produces oranges. Who enjoys the oranges? Who enjoys the oranges? It's not the tree. It's everybody else, right? The fruit is not for the tree. It's for the world around the tree. And I want you to think about this, because a life rooted in Jesus, guess what it does, church? It produces fruit. A life that is established and abounding in thanksgiving, it is producing fruit. But guess what? That fruit isn't for you. It's for everybody around you. And this is why Jesus says in John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you. And then look at this. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. And so Paul's telling the church, hey, one of the ways for you to fight against the enemy is to know that you have a role and go produce fruit. Walk in him and produce fruit. The world doesn't need Christians with more information. The world needs Christians to walk out a life that is rooted and growing and overflowing, people who produce fruit. And I want you to think about this today, church. Listen, don't lose this. When you get this one right, when you know what you are to do for him and you're doing it, guess what happens? Listen to this. Your kids get to eat the fruit. Your neighbors get to eat the fruit. Your coworkers, your teammates, your family members, your church gets to eat the fruit. Your community gets to eat the fruit. When you are being the person, living the way that God's called us to live, people benefit from a life that produces fruit. And that's our role. Not just to know Jesus, but to show Jesus. And there's a big gap today, church. There's a big gap between those who know and those who show. I'm just being honest with you. Paul talks about a faith that is rooted and built up and established, abounding in thanksgiving. And he is describing a people whose faith overflows in action. Some of you, I hope that the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart today, and thinking about producing fruit maybe scares you a little bit. So you're asking that question, well, do I have any fruit? Am I making a difference? The way that I live my life? And sometimes we make this really, really difficult, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be difficult. I want to show you how, right? I'm a very practical, simple Kentucky boy, all right? I need it low shelf so I can reach it, okay? And I want to give you just something super, super practical, an easy way that you can make this a part of your life, okay? God's brought some amazing people here to City Hope Church. Amazing, amazing people. And there's some people here in our church that they don't have to wear a shirt that says I'm a Christian, because their life shows that they're a Christian. Their actions show, their words sound different, right? And one group, and I'm just gonna highlight this group. There's a ton of different ministries, there's a ton of different groups, but I wanna highlight this group because I want you to understand this, okay? There's a group of people who embody this right here so well. Right? And it is the people who come every week, week in and week out, to set up and to tear down this building. Right? Those are the people If you're in here right now, I know I'm going to embarrass you. You don't want to do this, but would you just stand up? Those of you that are, come on, don't be bashful. Come on, stand up. Give them a little break. Get up. Come on, I see you guys are being nervous. Thank you. These folks, I want you to see this because, again, I'm simple. This is just practical. They get up before everybody else. They get here first. Most of them stay late and go home last. They don't do it for applause. They don't do it for recognition. They do it because they're rooted in Jesus, and the fruit of their faith is service. Now watch this. Watch this. When you walk into a room that is ready for a worship service, that's fruit. When a guest feels welcome in our church and they come in and like they feel loved and the space is nice as it can be as a cafeteria, but it's prepared and it's guess what, guys? That's fruit. When a child goes into one of our rooms and they hear the gospel and they sing songs about Jesus and they learn Bible verses and they do crafts, that's fruit. And we think fruit has to be this, man, I gotta beat Billy Graham and win thousands of people to the Lord. No. You're living out Colossians 2. And guess what? That's for all of us. All of us. And so I asked our team today, as we're getting ready to close, and my challenge to you today, a little bit of the challenge is, are you doing your part to produce fruit? That is a question that you and God have to answer, okay? And here's what I want to challenge you to do. There's a million different ways for you to produce fruit. There's a million different things for you to do for the kingdom of God. Your role is between you and the Lord. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's on a team and you're coaching or you're playing. Maybe it's here at City Hope Church. Maybe it's at another church. Wherever God is calling you to serve, wherever God is calling you to do your role in this thing, I want to encourage you to do it this week. Stop talking about it. Stop thinking about it. Because here's the deal. We know it, but it has to move to here. You know why these guys get here at 6 o'clock in the morning? Because there's something in their heart. Not because they love coming and moving chairs and putting up signs. Because they've got a call on their life from the Lord to make a difference. To make a difference. Living out Colossians 2, and you can too. Start today. If serving, and you want to know how can I serve at City Hope Church, we got a table out here today. And I'm being dead serious. Start today. Start today. Say, you know what? I'm going to sign up. I don't know what I'm going to sign up for, but I'm not producing any fruit in my life, and God's convicted me, and it's time for me to produce some fruit. The false teaching that's going on here in Colossians is that Jesus plus something else is what you need. And Paul turns it all on its head and he says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So today as we close, let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. The remedy to heresy, the remedy for you and I. Maybe today, I thought of this illustration on my way over here this morning. You ever done a puzzle and you get down to the last piece and there's one little hole, there's one little gap, and you can't find the piece? And if you're OCD like me, you can't sleep, you're gonna tear the house apart until you find that piece. I feel like today, there's people who know Jesus. They love and are thankful for what he's done. Their identity is in him, but the missing piece is them serving him and the call that he's put on their life. And maybe today you sit here and something's missing. Man, I know. know Jesus and I love him and I'm grateful and I'm striving. I'm not perfect, but I'm spending time with him, but there's something missing. And today, Jesus is calling and he's saying, hey, it's time. Walk in him. It's time for you to get involved. And like I said, if it's here at City Hope, great. But if it's not, great. When we want to help you get there, whatever that is, wherever that is, would you surrender enough today to say, God, here I am, use me? Remember, I'm not serving to earn love. I'm serving because I get his love. Church, do you know Jesus? Paul says that's the first. You got to know who he is. Do you know what he's done for you? Have you got away from thanking him? Have you got away from a life of gratitude for what? Don't lose sight of that. Have you lost your identity? Is your identity in your work? Is your identity in who your family is? Is your identity in your bank account? What's your identity in today, church? Are you producing any fruit? Fruit is for the people around you. What fruit am I producing for my kids, parents, for my spouse? What fruit am I producing for my community, for my church, for my family, for my loved ones, for my school students? What fruit am I producing? I pray the God who has great plans for us would bring conviction, would bring gratitude, would bring courageous, bold decisions into our heart, into our lives today, that we can be the people that you've called us to be. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful for all you are, for all you do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for men like Paul that we can learn from even thousands of years later. God, I pray that each and every one of us, wherever we find ourselves today, that we would live our lives in alignment with you. That as the enemy attacks, that we have these weapons. We have these tools to fight. I pray for those right now that are feeling beat down. They're struggling. The enemy is winning. I pray that today, that missing piece, that they would step up. They would step up and be the person you've called them to be, and they would stop allowing the enemy to win, that they would trust in your promises, that they would put these tools and weapons to use in their heart, in their mind, and in their life. May we be a church that understands that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Should have a worship night? Anybody? Yeah. Well, the students get a worship night, okay? But I encourage your students to go. I love when my kids go, and I love to pray for them when they're at youth, that our fruit, they will be able to share, right? You are loved, you are seen, you are sent, and happy birthday, Shelby.